Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, we're going to talk about the precious metals as we always do, and we're also going to tie it into a comparison to the US markets. But first and foremost, let's talk about gold. Now, gold made a run at the mid portion of last week, right after the press conference, the Fed press conference and statement. And then it fell pretty hard right at the tail end of the week. It has everybody saying, well, this is the correction that we were waiting for after a very nice run when gold bottomed in, let's say, late October in the low 1600s, ran the whole way up to almost 2000, really, and then gave up $100 in less than 48 hours. Now that, okay, let's say we are in a correction, what's important to know about this correction for gold to still have that overall bullish narrative that people have been telling us, Jordan?
Well, if gold has started a real bull move here, at least I would say in the first half of the year or next 4 or 5 months, because I'm not precluding something that could happen later in the year. But basically, and gold's different, we all know that. But in most bull markets, like when you're coming off of a bear market low, and a significant bottom. If you look at the beginning of these recoveries, the corrections tend to be really brief and really mild in terms of price. And it's just a common thing, because when you're coming out of these significant lows and the market's rebounding, whether it's stocks or, you know, commodities or gold or silver or whatever, people are always nervous because they think about the bear market or the decline is still in their minds. So they have this, as it's rising, they have this nervous feeling that, there needs to be a pullback because it's getting too overbought. It's going to, you know, it's at risk of giving up too many of these gains. But the reality is, if you're in a new bull move, the corrections tend to be brief and they're also mild in terms of price. And in addition to that, you know, if you look at like sentiment and momentum indicators, it's a good thing when they get really stretched early on. And so to think about some examples, if we think about how gold rebounded, I mean, think about how it came off the 1976 low. I looked at that and it's really interesting. I mean, the corrections in the first like year, 15 or 18 months, I mean, they were like 6%, 8%. They were really mild. And remember, that market went from 700 to 1,000 in like 4 months. So, I mean, and of course, we know that was the beginning of a real bull market. And, you know, another example, if we look back, and I've been talking about this, if you compare to what happened in 2018, 2019, I mean, there's a lot of similarities in terms of the technicals, the price action. I mean, it's not perfect, but also Fed policy. Now, the rally off the summer 18 low was not as high as this one, or not as much as this one. I mean, looks, I'm looking, gold rallied about 17%. This one, gold rallied 22%. But, you know, that 17% rally, when gold corrected, when the Fed, when they basically quickly went from a pause to we're going to cut rates, gold only corrected 6%. So that was really mild. And so where we are here and now, gold's corrected, I mean, I could be wrong, but close to 6% already. And if you look at a 9% correction would bring it pretty close to the 200-day. But basically, if gold is going to make a higher high and really break out, you know, let's say in the spring or in the summer, I mean, this should easily hold above the 200-day moving average. And it should be something that lasts, you know, probably no more than 2 or 3 months. I mean, that would be a sign that gold is on the cusp of a real bull move. So I don't mean to get too long-winded, but it's just the idea that gold is, you know, way too overbought and it needs this correction. It's not necessarily the case. What it needs right now for bulls is, again, you want to see a mild correction. You want to see it hold most of the gains. And so for me, you got to see that the worst case would be the low 1800s. If you see this fall back to, I mean, there's a lot of support at 1750. If it would go there and that's the bottom, fine, it's not terrible, but that just means it's going to take a lot more time for gold to, you know, rally back to 2000 again. So again, I don't mean to really get into the details here of these things, but they are really important.
Well, Jordan, I do think they are important, and there are people that are concerned that if the correction goes on too long or gets too deep, that it could derail what was potentially the bottoming process in the fourth quarter of last year. So I want to throw out two ideas that are prevalent in the Twitterverse and that are prevalent amongst a lot of technicians that we see online in different chat forums, and that is that they thought with Silver that, hey, it was just consolidating in a bull flag between 2350 and 2450 over the last, let's say, 5 to 6 weeks, and it was getting ready to break out, but it actually has broken down harder than many of those folks expected on their chart forecast, down in the low 22s, and we're also seeing a lot of people claiming that gold stocks and a lot of the ETFs are forming inverse head and shoulder patterns and are about to blast higher, but some of those have actually broken lower recently. So just because you have, you know, a specialty in technical analysis, what do you make of charts like that grasping for the bullish scenario, but maybe in the face of things breaking down further?
Well, unlike 20 or 30 years ago, anybody can put up a chart on the internet and draw lines. And all they need to do is do that and basically say silver is going to 50 and, you know, 300 and gold's going to 5,000. And that will attract quite a bit of attention. So, I mean, it's a larger problem with the internet where the best information and analysis doesn't necessarily attract the most attention. And so, you know, looking at these patterns, I think silver was, if we're looking at the very short term, like, yes, that had potential to be in a bull flag. But the reason that was not going to be a bull flag is because that pattern started. And since it started, I believe, you know, sometime in December, you know, gold had rallied over $100 an ounce, maybe $150 an ounce. And silver was just, you know, consolidating in this potential flag. Like, that's never, we know how the sector works. Like, if gold's going up like that and having a good rebound, silver should be leading, which silver was at the beginning of the move. The fact that silver was basically consolidating and gold was rising sharply, I mean, that was a sign the move was going to come to an end. So that's why that wasn't a bull flag. I mean, the larger thing I've talked about is people are drawing these lines, this trend channel from 2021 or the end of 2020, and they're saying, well, this is a bull flag consolidation in silver, which it absolutely is not. I mean, in a bull flag retraces at the most 38% of the preceding move. So once silver lost $22 at some point in 2021, the possibility of a bull flag was out the window. And yet I just saw another thing today on Twitter from someone who has a good amount of followers. Like, this silver's in a bull flag. This means it has to go to 50. And it's incorrect. And the problem is what people do is they look at these patterns and they just make an assumption because it looks similar. And the reality is there are certain parameters and characteristics that go into these types of moves. And when you understand those, you understand, okay, yes, this has potential to be a bull flag or, you know, whatever. This one definitely doesn't. And that's the kind of, I think, analysis that most people throwing up charts on the internet that they really don't do, or they just haven't learned that yet. And I mean, that's fine because I was a professional technician 10, 15 years ago, and I didn't know a whole lot compared to what I know now. But yeah, with that being said, I mean, the GDX, that there's this inverse head and shoulders, there was kind of an inverse head and shoulders with respect to how miners were bottoming at the end of last summer and in the winter. I mean, it was kind of what's called an irregular head and shoulders pattern, but I mean, it was setting up. But the idea now, I'm looking at the chart that in May 22, where GDX, the resistance is at 32 or 33, and then that's the neckline, which of course is resistance now. I mean, looking at it, about 33 is a good resistance point, but that this low in May is somehow the left shoulder. I mean, this is just complete nonsense. Like, I'm sorry, but people are really grasping at straws here to project these bullish outcomes for precious metals. And it's just, I mean, it's not the case. An inverse head and shoulders, it can be a continuation pattern. I mean, this is like, you know, inside baseball 101, but in most cases, you're looking at something that's a top or a bottom, and it has to develop over a period of time. So there has to be a preceding downtrend that's consistent leading into the market, you know, making this bottom and forming the first shoulder and then the head and the other shoulder, like we saw if you look at the end of last summer and early fall. Like, you could clearly see there was this clear downtrend in the preceding months. GDX went from 42 all the way down to 22, you know, from April down to October. So that was a period of time that allowed the pattern to develop. There's no looking at the low in May, like there's no real downtrend. If you look at the 3, 6, 9 months before, I mean, it's just sideways action. There's no downtrend leading into that. So I'm sorry, I don't mean to get too wordy, but it's absolutely not an inverse head and shoulders pattern.
Okay, I think that sums it up there, Jordan. Let's also talk about the comparison between gold to the stock market. You have chatted about this quite a bit. We've talked to you about it a fair bit over our last few interviews. I want to get your update on this because, quite frankly, you take a daily chart and gold to the S&P ratio looks more promising for gold. You take a monthly chart, though, and go back 10 years, well, there's really nothing to write home about. So what are you watching on this chart? What matters?
Well, I mean, we talked about, you know, last time we talked about the big picture implications, the importance of that this ratio has to break above the 16 and 20 highs. That would trigger a new real secular bull market in precious metals. That has to happen for silver to get to 50, 100 bucks, for gold to go 3,000, 4,000, et cetera. Now, in the, you know, more short term, if we're focusing on the next 3, 6, or 9 months, and again, this is why, you know, going by looks is, I mean, there's no patterns that I'm looking at, but, you know, going by looks can be deceiving. But the ratio in favor of gold, it made a move higher. It's been consolidating for a while. It's been unable to make a higher high, but it's still above the long-term moving averages. Now, this looks similar to what we had towards the end of 2016, but also, you know, what we had in 2019 and into early 2020. So the bear case would be, this is looking more like it did at the end of 2016. This is going to break down and, you know, go lower, meaning stocks are going to outperform gold. The bull case is, no, this looks more like it did in 2018 and 2019. It just needs a catalyst to happen. And then it's, you know, it's going to make a big move higher in favor of gold. So that's something I'm watching. I think it is going to come down, probably test the 400 day around 0.43. Maybe it goes, breaks it a little bit. But I think in the short term, short or medium term, you know, we'll see how, if that ratio can make, you know, test that support and then make a big bounce that's favorable to gold. You know, and then this is something we were talking about beforehand. This is why it's important to understand intermarket analysis and also the macro developments, because, like I said, a bear will look at this chart and say, this looks like 2016, it's breaking down. A bull will say, no, this looks like 18, 19, and early 20. This is bullish for precious metals. But you have to look at, you know, intermarket analysis and the macro fundamentals. And if you look at the stock market, it's veered off my mega bear market path. At the same time, you've seen breadth thrusts where you get really strong participation, you know, after a bear market or after a steep correction. You get a lot of stocks that are showing positive price action, and that triggers what's called a breadth thrust. And in most cases, that means there's a new cyclical bull market in the stock market. Now, that doesn't mean that it has to, you know, that we're going to have a 5 or 3 or 4 year run. But I mean, it is possible you could, maybe the stock market continues to show strength for the remainder, you know, through the end of this year and a little bit longer, and it's a 16 or 18 month cyclical bull market. So in that scenario, that's probably negative for the gold to S&P ratio. Then it would break down. Not saying it would be exactly like 2016, but that's one scenario. The bullish scenario would be, yes, I see, you know, I see these breadth thrusts, but they're not, no indicator is 100% foolproof. And if we're looking at the economy, if we look at the yield curve inversions, which have an extremely strong track record, those project on average to a recession beginning around the middle of the year. So if you're thinking about that and thinking there's going to be a downturn in the economy, we know that's going to spell rate cuts, or at least the market will discount that, especially if bond yields fall. If they fall enough, the market knows rate cuts are coming. So that's the bullish argument to the gold to S&P 500 ratio. And so you cut right now, you have this tug of war, like you have these breadth thrusts, which are really powerful. But at the same time, you know, you look at the yield curve inversions, economic data is slowly getting worse. A lot of things are really, you know, most of the data is really close to signaling you're about to fall into a recession. And, you know, the yield curve inversions tell us, well, I mean, it's too early to expect that. You know, maybe it's not going to happen until the middle of the year or perhaps a little bit later. So that's, again, I'll say it's interesting because you have this tug of war where you have all these things that are telling you a recession's probably going to hit around the middle of the year. We know that'd be really bullish for gold and precious metals. But at the same time, you have these bread thrusts, which are just, well, I mean, they're just one technical indicator, but I mean, they do have a very good track record of signaling new cyclical bull markets and stocks. And so these are things that we'll have to continue to watch because, well, you know, let's just say the bread thrusts are correct and maybe the recession gets pushed out another 12 or 15 months into the future, then it's not going to be, you know, it's going to be a tough year for precious metals in that scenario. Then we're not in that scenario, you wouldn't see gold break out. And so I'm not really leaning one way or the other, but again, it'll be interesting to watch. And I'm sure this is something we'll continue to cover in the weeks and months ahead.
Oh man, I'm sure it is, Jordan. Look, there is no easy answer for these markets right now. The markets, the economy have surprised a lot of people last year and early on this year. I believe they still continue to surprise. And we do always need to remember people inherently, I believe, want to be bullish, even if it's just for one or two different sectors, if not for the whole market. So always understand someone's carrying some sort of narrative into their analysis. Jordan, thank you as always for your time. Great chatting with you. We'll chat again next week.